you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, November 1st, everyone, 2019. Happy November, Pastor Jason.
Hey, happy November.
Ooh, wow, geez. That's filled with a lot of enthusiasm.
I'm not ready. I'm not sure I'm ready for the weather that we're having. You know, the 25 degrees and all that.
Snow and all the rain and ice. And, the other day I was in Springfield. In fact, I'll be leaving shortly to go to Springfield again today. WLUJ is having a share-a-thon, and I'm kind of observing and helping. I was answering phones on Wednesday and Thursday and did a couple little interviews and met some of the folks there. And what's interesting, Joey Kroll works there. Mm-hmm. Some people have said, you know what, I was in Bloomington the other day and I heard Joey Kroll's voice. And then somebody else says, oh, I hear him in Decatur all the time. How does your frequency reach there? And I said, no, actually, Joey's been working there longer than the 7 years he's been working for me here with Great News Radio. And so that was one of the reasons I went and wanted to volunteer and help, along with Phil Shepard, one of our board members, was down Thursday and will be back today. And so it's nice to meet up with Phil, and he helps raise funds. We've never had a share-a-thon in our 24 years, and so I'm just observing how they do it and the listener involvement, and then all the volunteers. It's fun to sit with them. They're enthusiastic. They want to give back to the station, which we have many volunteers that do that. But have spent some time with their staff and meeting with them and enjoying all that. But, yeah, that's got me on the road to Springfield. You know, you take 72 almost directly to the station. So it was a nice ride the last few days. Got to treat Joey and Aubrey out to dinner on Wednesday night. And tonight I'll meet up with Phil and we'll have a dinner together. So that'll be great. One of the unique things of Christian radio stations is generally they'll have a fall share-a-thon and then maybe a spring share-a-thon. And they were all asking, oh, are you here to learn about share-a-thons? And I said, well, a little bit, but we've never had one. And they go, well, how does your station get supported? And I said, I thank God daily. I said, people have saw fit these 24 years to send in donations. And I said, we've never preempted programming and had a fundraiser over the air ever. And they said, well, how does that happen? I'm like, well, God puts it on people's hearts to give, and they've been just faithful, and we've cultivated a good relationship, I believe, and I count it a luxury, if you will, that we don't have to spend a lot of time, how are we going to get our budget met, and how's it all going to work? And so I said, I'm just here to help and observe, and there's some good things about the share-a-thon. Boy, it really rallies people, and they call in. I prayed with a number of people over the phone. People were like, I want to pledge $500. One of the last guys, when I answered the phone last night, he says, I want to pledge $500. I said, well, is there anything we can pray for or anything you want said over the air? Because some people, hey, I want to challenge all the people in Springfield, Illinois to call in, or, you know, all the Teamsters, you know, call in and pledge a donation. And this guy says, you know, I've lived in some very dark days, and it's through Christian radio that I've really been nurtured and got plugged into a church, and it's through the broadcasters that they've really helped me grow, and I just want people to know that I thank God for the broadcast. And I thought, wow. So I said, hey, you know, his name was Mark. I said, hey, Mark, let me just pray for you. And so it was just neat, and he was encouraged. And I said, thank you. $500 is a significant gift. You could go on vacation. You could do a lot of things with that. He said, no, I just really felt like God wanted me to pledge that. And so it was neat talking to from senior saints to younger people that would call in. And so there was some really good and valuable experience to see all these volunteers that came in answering the phones and getting the mailings out and doing the various things. And then the people calling in, we've never had anything like that. Fortunately, I think it's been a real blessing because there's a lot of energy and effort and all the people that have to pull a share-a-thon together. And they're doing it all week long. In fact, tonight, I think it ends at 5 or 6 p.m. But it did get people to respond and call in and connect. And so I guess all to say thank you, listeners, for supporting this radio ministry and the unique work we've done these 24 or so years. And if you've heard me for the last month or two hinting on a big announcement, we're still waiting maybe a week or two, things all be in order where I can talk about God's expansion of our radio ministry and the things that we see him doing and doing in the days ahead. But that'll have to wait a few more weeks. But I think we're getting closer. I think one more board meeting and all these ducks in a row, we'll be able to announce some very, very exciting things. But yeah, I just appreciate the fact that our bills are paid to date and everything's in order, and we're in a position where if God so moves it all forward, we'll be announcing some unique things in the days ahead. But yeah, thank you, God, for our listeners and the unique things that are happening. Two things that are happening, Monday and Tuesday, we'll have Mark Kugler on. He's a friend. You were a part of one of the trips to Israel teaching, and he's a real good guy. He'll be on Monday, a special dedicated day to his sister Ruth, so we'll have him in to talk a little about her and her home going. She was 59 when she went to be with the Lord in March. And then on Tuesday, Dr. Hendricks, Dave Webb's daughter, she's a physician for Carl at the Muhammad Clinic. She's going to talk about the open room in Muhammad and the ministry work going on there. Because tomorrow, Saturday, one of the events that's going on at that open room is a men's study on Dr. Webb's new book, Letters to David. So we had Dr. Webb in this past Tuesday, on Testimony Tuesday, to talk about his book and the importance of men stepping up to the plate, if you will, being godly men. So his study starts tomorrow, open to all men. It's from 7 to 8:30, the first and third Saturdays in the month, and that's at the open room in Muhammad. And if you want to find out more about that or some of the other happenings going on there, it's the-openroom.com, the-openroom.com. And on Monday and Tuesday, we had Dr. Webb here in the studio talking about the couple books he wrote and the memorization Monday verse. So that's kind of some of the happenings here. I guess on Wednesday, you were part of the memorial service. I didn't know about it, but Bob Hebeling, donor, a volunteer from way back when the radio ministry was launched, lived in Fisher. His homegoing service was, I guess, at the River Valley Church of Christ in Fisher, Karen's Church. Andy Baker, Reverend Pastor Andy Baker, officiated. But yeah, Bob is now home with the Lord, but we'll miss him and appreciated his service and the legacy he left. So how did you know him? Or you know him through his
son.
Children?
His son. Yeah, I know his son well, and so we wanted to go and support and cheer them on, encourage them in this time.
Well, I see you have Romans open. I made a comment.
You know, I had Romans open, but then I'm battling in my mind about two things that I would love to spend just a moment talking about. And I think that the former is going to win over the latter. I mean, the passage in Romans is great, so we will always have a chance to talk about that maybe, unless we have my homegoing service, and then we won't, but then it won't matter. You know, I was reading this week and discussing with a number of different people this passage out of Acts, and there's something culturally that's happening right now that I think is really important that maybe we talk about, because what's happening now is not any different than what's happening then. You know, there's times when you read the Bible and you go, wait a second, like, I see this happening. And really, Acts chapter 9, it begins in Acts chapter 9, which is when the church pushes out from Jerusalem. You know, what did Jesus say? You know, they said, well, when's going to be the time when the kingdom is going to come in its fullness? And Jesus said, it's not for you to know the time or dates that's set by the Father's hand, but you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Up until Acts chapter 8, all the ministry of the church is happening in Jerusalem. Because, listen, we always want to make small what God wants to make big. We always want to gather when God tells us to therefore go. He tells us to scatter. Way back in Genesis, he tells us to scatter, to go forth. He tells us in Matthew 28, make disciples of all nations. And instead, what we want to do is instead of going to the nations, we want to invite everybody to come to church. Like, come to one central location. Because we're so good at gathering, but not always good at scattering. And so, God brings about, he orchestrates, because God is sovereign. And some people have difficulty with me saying that, but God orchestrates the persecution that then comes. God's in control, and he could at any point take the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those people who are becoming antagonistic to this growing movement called the Way, these followers of Jesus. instead, God allows this to happen. In fact, so much so that in Acts chapter 6 and 7, we see the stoning of Stephen, and Stephen is the first martyr. And then that sets off this massive persecution. In 8, Saul approves of the execution of Stephen, and the great day of persecution rises against the church. The Bible even says that men and women were dragged from their homes. And when it says men and women, it means of all ages. So this is the worst thing you can think of. This is men and women of all ages being dragged from their home, beaten, put in chains, put in cages, however it is, and transported back to Jerusalem to pay the price for being a part of this fledgling church in the name of Jesus Christ. And so from there, we get all these interesting accounts of faith. Philip proclaims Christ in Samaria, and there he meets Simon the magician, who pretends like he's a believer, but he's not really a believer. But he knows enough to pretend and fake that he's a believer. He knows enough that in the end of the passage, when he's called out by Peter, he says, "Will you please pray for me?" He doesn't know God in a way that he can pray for himself, but he understands who God is enough to ask for prayer. So you have this guy who's kind of faking it, winging it. I know a few people like that. Then you have Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch displays everything that there needs to be for faith. In fact, so much so that when I was discussing with somebody, I said, did you ever think about the fact that in this day, not everybody, there was no Gideons, not everybody had a Bible. And yet this Ethiopian eunuch saw fit to spend what money he had to have a copy of Isaiah, to have a copy of the scriptures. And so you have Simon the magician who's faking it and trying to make it, and you have Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch is in it. Like, he's really in it. And then we get to Acts chapter 9, and we get the conversion of Saul, Saul being the worst person. At chapter 8 kicks off and tells us that Saul is the worst of the worst. And Saul meets the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Listen, let's stop and pause for a second. Saul wasn't persecuting Jesus. He was persecuting the followers of Jesus. But anytime you persecute the followers of Jesus, you are persecuting Jesus. Jesus told the disciples in the upper room, they'll hate you because they hated me. Not because particularly that they hate you. They hate me, and they hate the life that you have through me. The belief that you have. And so Saul becomes a believer. And then all of a sudden we get this amazing kind of passage. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible, where Saul is like converted. You know, he goes blind on the Damascus Road and he's obedient. He goes to Damascus, led there by the hand. And then God goes to Ananias and he's like, hey, I need you to go and talk to Saul. And he's like, hey, wait, don't you know who Saul is? Saul's the worst of the worst. And God's like, yeah, I know. You need like, you to go over there. Wait a second. Are you sure you know what you're asking me to do?
He's like the ISIS leader.
He is. So you've got Saul, who is like the worst of the worst, and he's obedient once he meets the Lord Jesus, and God reveals himself to Ananias, and Ananias is arguing with God. And so all these kinds of little things that are happening are trying to show us what church is like, I think. I mean, when I read this in a kind of a big 30,000-foot view, I go, this is church. People who are faking it and who are trying to act like they got it all wired tight. People who are faithful in little and it reaps much. People who are wicked, who are being radically changed. People who appear faithful but are willing to argue with God even when he asks them to do something that's absolutely impossible. And then, you know, and then we get to see some incredible healings, the healing of Dorcas and the healings of Aeneas, you know, which shows us that God is at work and God is doing amazing things, and the faith of Peter in the middle of all of that. And then we have going to Acts chapter 10 and Peter and Cornelius. And now God comes to this man named Cornelius and says, I'm going to send Peter to come see you. And Cornelius is like, wait, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm a devout man. I like to give alms. I like to pray, but I don't understand what you're talking about, because he hasn't heard the gospel yet. Peter's on the roof. The sheet comes down. God's like, Peter, I need you to go. Don't call what's unclean unclean. I make it clean. And Peter's like, yeah, but don't you know? And God's like, oh, here we go, three times. Let's do it. You know, and Peter does three times. Peter can't get it through his thick head that God's calling him to do something. Why? Because God forbid the Gentiles could be saved. God forbid. And it's so much so, God has to, I almost think he has to wow Peter. Because in the midst of that, he says, the men who I've called, go with them. And it's in that moment Peter looks over the side of the roof of the house and there's these men. Hey, we're here to get you. You know, and Peter's like, holy moly.
Where'd you guys come from?
Yeah, okay. And some people don't understand what a big obstacle this is for Peter to go and to go into the house of Cornelius, because Cornelius was a Gentile. Everything within his house was considered to be unclean, which then, you know, kind of Peter holding on to who he had been, he would be ceremonially unclean for 10 days. Not only that, and what people don't understand is the Middle Eastern hospitality laws. When Cornelius was to offer Peter food, Peter could not say no. Peter was going to have to eat the food that possibly, because he was a Gentile, could have been sacrificed to idols, because that was a normal practice in a Gentile home. And so Peter is crossing over a huge line here in order to pursue what God is doing in the work of God. And sometimes, friends, we have to cross over some big lines of where we don't understand, or cross over our own preconceived notions about how we think things ought to be when we're following God into the place of where it should be or how it will be. Because God's view is always bigger than our view. You know, my view is gather. God's view is scatter. Scatter is scary, because when people leave church, there's no bet they're coming back. And so God's view is always bigger, because God's view is reliant upon faith, something that you can't see, but you have to trust.
And when you scatter, or you're out alone, then insecurities, you're
totally
like ill-equipped, I can't do it, you're vulnerable, all the things.
Well, listen to how many times you hear Christians say, I don't know if it's safe for you to go over there. I mean, you're a Christian, and that's a non-Christian place. Well, somebody has to go. And I'm not saying you need to go to like some blatantly sinful place, but I am saying that there are some unchristian places that Christians need to go into so that there can be a Christian there. There can be a witness. There can be somebody who speaks truth and life and love into those places. Because until there is no light, there is only darkness. But sometimes we have to cross over. But listen, we love what's safe, don't we? That's why we love, and I'm not out on Christian bookstores, I'm not out on Christian music, I'm not out on any of that stuff. But that's sometimes why we stick to those things, is because we go, those are safe. I know, when I go in the Christian bookstore, I know what I'm going to get. Hmm. Yeah, you know what, I'm just going to challenge you. When you go in Barnes & Noble, you also know what you're going to get? Non-Christians. And that's a whole lot more fun. You know, one of my practices that I do, and I'm not killing it by any measure, is I go to Barnes & Noble, and I always look for a book that I know they don't have, because they don't ever have any of the books I really want. You know, their selection is about an inch deep. They go with kind of what the bestsellers are. But I'll go in, and I'll say, man, I was really looking for The Confessions of Augustine. You know what that offers me the opportunity to do? Go up to the counter and order it, where I get to talk to the woman, and I get to say, hey, I'm looking for The Confessions of Augustine. Huh, I've heard that name before. I don't know what that is about. Well, let me tell you what it is. Augustine was one of the church fathers, and Augustine believed this, and he believed that we had a choice to live between two. I'm actually parroting a conversation I had. Augustine gave us this choice in one of his books about, do we live in the city of God, or do we live in the city of man? Do we live in the city that is decaying and falling apart, or do we live in the city where God's glory is the light in which we live in? You know, this person was like, man, that sounds pretty interesting. I like philosophy. I might want to read that. Mm. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm going to order the book. So when it comes in, you know, I mean, maybe thumb through it. I don't know. Mm. But there's a non-Christian mission field where you get to go and you get to do that. So Peter has to cross over kind of these big, huge lines of what was acceptable and what seemed unacceptable as he was following God to do that. And then Peter goes back. He preaches the gospel. Everybody in Cornelius' house gets saved. I love this. Mm. They have to get baptized in the little pools that are around his house so that they can get some baptism going on. Because back in these days, they didn't wait to get baptized. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were baptized. And then it says the Holy Spirit, this is in chapter 10 and verse 44, the title is The Holy Spirit Falls on the Gentiles, which means their faith is real. Their faith is the kind of faith that only comes through God's amazing grace. And in that, Peter goes back in Acts chapter 11 to preach to the church, to tell the church what has happened. And they can't believe it. In fact, they don't want to believe it. The Bible said, Peter actually has to go through and tell the story. And he tells, what I love about Peter is he's the brother's just crazy enough, he tells the whole story. He's like, oh yeah, man, I had a vision, I was hungry, and this sheet fell down. Listen, if you were trying to make a solid state case for what was going on, you would omit the crazy details. You'd be like, you know, I don't really, we think we should talk about the talking snake, because that would just, it gets people off the track. And Peter tells about everything. But the thing was, is that the church didn't want to believe that the Gentiles could be saved. Mm. They didn't want to believe that the gospel was big enough that the unsavable could be saved. Now, why do I tell you all of this? Because if you follow social media at all, you would see that there's a big kind of storm brewing because this rap artist, and not just a rap artist, very prolific rap artist, and a rap artist who has been known for a very seedy kind of past, has proclaimed his faith in Christ. And not only has Kanye West proclaimed his faith in Christ, But he released a rap album. He didn't call it a Christian album. He didn't release it under the label contemporary Christian or Christian rap. He released it as hip hop and rap, mainstream, with the title Jesus is King. And the album is all about faith in Christ. I listened to it. I was out on it a little bit. I was like, I don't know. I'm just got to kind of see what this is about. I'll listen to the album. I actually put my money where my mouth was, my $9.99, bought it on my phone, listened to it, and I said, this is not my kind of music, but this brother's preaching the gospel. This brother is preaching the gospel. Then somebody sends me a video, and they go, man, you have got to see this video. It's a YouTube kind of a thing. It's called Wretched Radio. I don't know if anybody's ever seen it. But Todd Friel, who is a very ultra-conservative Southern Baptist, he aligns himself with John MacArthur. If you see John MacArthur on a stage, you'll always see Todd Friel there, which just lets you know kind of how tight he is. So the title of the video was Wretched Radio Looks at Kanye West's Deal. Thing. Mm-hmm. Now, what Kanye West has been doing now is instead of having concerts, he's been having this thing he calls the Sunday service, and he takes it from city to city, and it's like a revival. They do all the music from the album, but in the middle of their time together, a guy who graduated from John MacArthur Seminary comes out and preaches the gospel for 30 minutes. Mm. Todd Friel spent 30 minutes of his program talking about how every preacher should preach like this guy preaches. Mm. This guy who never has anything nice to say about anybody other than the most ultra-conservative of conservatives says, this guy's preaching the gospel. Mm. And the implications of that is that God saved this seedy rapper with an absolutely heinous past and called him to his glory, had him release an album, there's videos of him talking about how he struggled with pornography and how his intimate life with his wife is so much better since God freed him of that. He's talking against everything he ever supported in a way that he might lift up Jesus Christ. And I see a lot of brothers and sisters, Christians, on social media who are like, I don't believe it. And listen, the church in Acts didn't believe it. But it was true. And it wasn't true just because Peter said it was true. It was true because God said it was true. And it was true because the Gentile branches were producing fruit. And so, friends, I want you to just take a moment and look at the life of this man, this Kanye West, this rapper, and look at the fruit that it is producing. And we should always be discerning. We should always be watchful. But we should also celebrate what God is doing, especially when he crosses over the lines that we have so cemented in our minds as being uncrossable, because that's how big the gospel is.
And you know, those of you that are friends of Huntley Brown, he's incredible. I don't know. He must have the phone always next to his ear because I've texted him 20, 30, 50 times. And he always responds quickly. But he did a post on Kanye West, and it was really interesting. And I was like, and I listened to one of the links, and he was preaching, and he was dividing God's word. It wasn't just a superficial glance, everyone, God's love. He was talking about Romans and this, and I was like, holy cow, he is saying, you need the word in your heart. And I was like, wow. And, you know, a little skeptical, but like, well, you never know how God will use that. And then I remembered that verse where Jesus was talking to the disciples and they said, hey, Jesus, this guy's doing this in your name. And Jesus kind of basically says, if he's not against us, he's for us. Mm-hmm. And I sent that to Huntley Brown and he said, oh, that's a good one. I'll have to include that. And I just thought, you know, this Kanye, he's going to sin. He's going to fall short. Mm-hmm. I think I saw some other interview and a swear word came out of him, but he's in that sanctification process, and you know, if you will, give him the benefit of the doubt, or at least pray for him, support him, because he will reach people that you and I will never reach, and who knows, as his transformation takes place, it'll influence his wife, and you know, that whole Kardashian, that whole family, and who knows who else he'll touch, but it's kind of like God to use the people or person that we'd never imagine.
And I don't like the music. It's not my kind of music. And so I was talking to a friend, and Andrew Peterson just released an album this week that I love. And so I said to my friend, I said, it's like people aren't listening to this album, and it's really great. And Kanye West's album, it's God glorifying, it's all these things, but it's just not my kind of music. And my friend said, it may not be your kind of music, but my son just used it to lead his friend in high school to the Lord.
Wow.
And I said, it doesn't have to be my kind of, again, me coloring lines that are not God's lines. So praise God.
Wow. Amen and amen. Well, a good word on this Friday. Another great word would be get in a church that's preaching God's word so you can be ministered to, blessed, and then be equipped to go out this next week and touch others with the word of God. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.
Amen.